Hey Blackhawk, I'm Chris. Here are a few things happening around Blackhawk this week. Are you new to Blackhawk? We would love to meet you. Join us on Sunday, October 4th at our Brader Way site for an opportunity to meet some of our staff, connect with others who are new to the church, and hear about ways to get involved going forward. To ensure a safe gathering, we'll meet outside and follow social distancing recommendations. Please RSVP on our website. Food for the Hungry Bolivia is one of our global partners whose goal is to end all forms of human poverty by going to the hard places and walking with the world's most vulnerable people. One of the ways we can support them is by sponsoring children. You'll build a relationship with the child and their family and help Food for the Hungry assist their community with food, education, clean water, and medical treatment. So far, we've sponsored nearly 250 children. Thank you. Let's challenge ourselves to bring that number to 300. We can do this. This year, Women's Fall Retreat will be online on Saturday, October 17th. This is a chance to step away from the busyness of everyday life and refocus on God, your spiritual life, and enjoy community with other women. Kristen Clute, creator of Field Guides for the Way, will lead this year's retreat. Registration closes Friday, October 9th. Check out our website for more information. Thanks again for joining us. Now let's dive into worship together.
Well, welcome to Blackhawk Church Online. I hope you're ready to put on that garment of praise. We're so excited to be here with you today to worship. Look, I know for some of you this may be a season of darkness, sorrow, brokenness, shame, lies, and fear. But we're going to sing this song that simply reminds us that my fear, your fear, doesn't stand a chance when we're standing in the love of God. Let's worship.
Stand in your love. We say you are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Yeah.
Even when we can't see it, God, you are working. You are the light in the darkness. Our fear cannot stand a chance when we stand in your love. We call out to you, Spirit of the living God, that you would fall fresh on us this morning. We say it's your power that brings life to the dead bones, brings boldness to those in fear, brings love to those who hate. Spirit of the living God, we call on you. We worship you. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of our praise. Sing that out together.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop working. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yeah. keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Ooh. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Lynn, and I'm so glad to be with you today. So wherever you are, maybe you're worshiping at home, online, maybe you're in a watch party with others, welcome. And I want to give a special shout out right now to anyone who's new. If you are like just checking things out, maybe this is your first or your second week, or maybe you used to come and took some time away and you're kind of just stepping back into things, I am so personally pumped that you are here for today's message. Man, I hope that Blackhawk can feel like family to you, like a place where you belong. And so if you have questions about getting connected, if you have questions about faith or anything, we would love to connect with you. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us on our website. As we head into the fall, which by the way, happy fall, I can hardly believe we're here. We are working through a series where we are focusing on the words of Jesus. And we are looking to grow together as a community in understanding of who the real Jesus is and what it means for our lives. We believe that one of the best ways that we can grow in understanding Jesus is by spending time with him in prayer. And so for that reason, we've decided to take the month of October and to put a special emphasis on prayer. What that means is there will be different opportunities for you to get involved by praying. We'll have daily prayer prompts. We'll have weekly opportunities for you to gather online for prayer. And we'll also have a handful of times where you can actually gather in person by sight. Now, I realize that when we talk about prayer, there are a lot of different feelings that may come up. You might be someone who loves prayer. You love that we're doing this, but you might feel like, man, I don't really know how to pray, and I don't really know if I would get involved with something like that. And I want to put that invitation out there to you to say, no matter how you feel about prayer, no matter what comes to your mind right now as you think about prayer, man, I want to invite you to join us this October. See what God might do as we spend time with him in prayer. So be on the lookout for more information about that in this coming week. As we get ready to hear a message from Matt, as we continue in our series called I Am, I want to give you a heads up that later on in the service, we will be doing communion together. And so if you would like to participate, feel free to just hit pause right now or whenever you're ready to go grab some bread and some juice for communion. Before we continue, can I just say that sometimes I get distracted when I'm watching church online. Like sometimes my mind starts to wander and I start thinking about breakfast and laundry and what I'm doing with the rest of my day. And I don't know if you get distracted when you're watching church online, but I just want to take a second with you as a community. Can we actually pause and can we reflect and think on this question to prepare ourselves for the message? In this moment, what is it that you hunger and long for the most? In this moment, what is it that you hunger and long for the most? Let's reflect and let's invite God for just a few moments here. Would he enter into this time? Could we meet with God this morning? Amen. My prayer for this time is that we could eliminate distraction and just focus on whatever it is that God has for us. With that, let's go to Matt and today's message.
Thank you. Well, hey, thanks, Lynn. Hey, welcome everybody again to Black Hawk Church at your home. We are so glad that you are joining us right now. And regardless if you call Black Hawk downtown your home or Black Hawk Fitchburg your home or Black Hawk Braderway, we are all together in your home right now having a chance to be able to worship together. And if you're new around Black Hawk, my name's Matt. I'm one of the pastors on staff. I am a part of the teaching team, and it's just good to get a chance to be able to be together. So one thing I don't know if you know about me, but I kind of love bread. Bread actually is one of my favorite things. And you know how wherever it is that you live, you kind of fall in love with particular food, you know, from the city that you're in or the county that you're in that you can get your hands on locally? Well, one of my favorites is Stella's spicy cheese bread. Have you ever had this stuff? Anyone? If you haven't, this will change your life forever. It's amazing. You can get it like in these little loaves, but you can also get it in big loaves that you can do. And I just want to enjoy it for a moment. Just hold on with me. Oh, just so good. The first time I ever had Stella's spicy cheese bread was actually at the farmer's market. They have these big booths. There would always be a long line. So we got in line, we got one of the loaves, and it was incredible. But then we found out not too long after that that they actually have it at Metcalf's. Game changer for my family in a bad way, because we started having it all the time. Like, it seemed like Stella's spicy cheese bread all of a sudden became something you could have with whatever meal you were eating. So if you were having chili, Stella's spicy cheese bread went with it. But then it didn't matter if it was Mexican or Chinese or Italian. It was always Stella's spicy cheese bread along with it. It was so good. I just am a bread lover. And really, I mean, Stella's is incredible, but I just like really any kind of bread. Like, I've loved seeing during this COVID season the way so many people have gotten into bread baking. And, you know, it's all over social media. In fact, one of my friends actually created an Instagram page just for his baking adventures. Shout out to you, Mo, right now. I love all kinds of bread. It doesn't matter if it's homemade bread. I like when I go to a restaurant and they bring out the free bread ahead of the meal. I love like cinnamon rolls from La Brioche and places like that. I just love bread. I could never go on like a low carb diet. Just not going to be my thing. I love the fact that Jesus, when he prayed, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." I mean, really, I'm just trying to be a good Christ follower, you know? So, okay, here's the thing. Maybe that's a stretch. But when I think about the idea that Jesus not only prayed that we would have bread, but he also referred to himself as bread. Like, it was a metaphor that he used for us to understand him more. That's what we are going to look at today. So at home, if you've got a Bible somewhere nearby, go and grab it. We're going to take a look at John chapter 6. That is where we are headed today. We are in week 3 of a series right now called I Am, where we are taking a look at the 7 different statements that Jesus made where he talked about who he was by saying, "I am," and using different word metaphors. You know, there are all kinds of people throughout history who have had all sorts of things to say about Jesus and who he was. I get interested at seeing what did Jesus say about himself? What were the things that he wanted us to know about who he is? And so today we're headed towards Jesus when he said, "I am the bread of life." And so we're going to look today at John chapter 6. Now, something to know in particular about John chapter 6, it is a long chapter. There are a ton of verses in John chapter 6. In other words, we aren't going to be able to cover all of it today. We could easily do like a 4-part series just on John 6. So I'm giving you some homework I'd love for you to do later today or sometime this week. Sit down and just read all of John chapter 6. It won't take you that long. But it's so interesting when we look at it. There are different stories in there that I think oftentimes we hear sermons on them separately, but we don't always stop to look at like how they honestly fit together. And there's a richness that comes when we see the story as a whole. And so that's really what we want to be able to move towards, is how does this all fit together? But for the sake of time, I'm just going to tell some of the story. So the story begins with Jesus and his disciples where they are near a town called Tiberias, which is actually kind of in the southern area of the Sea of Galilee. And they were just outside of this particular city. And as they were outside of the city, they went up into the mountainside to spend some time together. This is full on into Jesus' ministry at this time. And so he's doing all kinds of teaching, and word has gotten out that he is performing miracles, he's healing people. And so everywhere that he goes now, there's a crowd of people that just sort of follow him everywhere that he goes. Lo and behold, as he is on the mountainside spending time with his disciples, a crowd shows up of thousands of people. And this is one of those familiar miracles that I think that for many of us we have heard before, where Jesus feeds, it says 5,000. It's the only miracle actually that shows up in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first four books of the New Testament. And so Jesus, you know, he is on the side of this mountain. This crowd shows up. His disciples turn to him and say, we need to send the people away so they can head into other towns and they can get food. And Jesus looks at him and says, will you feed them? And they don't know what to do in that moment. One of the disciples brings a little boy with a little, you know, lunch. And Jesus takes that lunch, five loaves and two fish, and he feeds everyone. And we know back then the men were the only ones who were counted in a situation like this. This wasn't including women and children. So in reality, this is probably like, I don't know, modestly 15,000 people. And the food just continues to where there's like 12 basketfuls of food left over afterwards. It was amazing. I would have loved to have been there to see the way that this all went down. So immediately in this particular moment, man, the crowd is so blown away by this miracle, they want to make Jesus king. Like by force, they're just going to make the decision. And Jesus, this is not why he came. And so he decides he's going up onto the mountain. He's going to get away from the crowd and go up on the mountain in order to spend time with his father. He sends the disciples down from the mountain range of Tiberias to get into a boat and to sail for the city of Capernaum in the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. Okay, so Jesus goes up onto the mountain, sends his disciples down, gets them into a boat. They sail for Capernaum. Jesus goes up to spend time with his father. Then in the middle of the night, Jesus comes down from the mountains and goes to his disciples as they're on their way to Capernaum by walking on the water. Another one of these miracles that lots of us have heard about before. And so it's in that moment, the disciples are afraid. Jesus tells them, no, it's I. But when one of the Gospels, Peter gets out of the boat, walks to him, begins to sink. Jesus grabs him. They get into the boat. Immediately, they're in Capernaum. Unbelievable miracle. So now Jesus is with the disciples in Capernaum. And at that point in the morning, the crowd who was still in Tiberias, they wake up and they're looking for Jesus. And they can't find him anywhere. So they decide that the best bet for them is to follow the disciples for Capernaum. So they go ahead, they get into boats, and they go from Tiberias now towards Capernaum, figuring, well, at some point, Jesus is going to reconnect with his disciples. If we want to be near Jesus, we might as well go ahead and follow the disciples. And as they get there, well, Jesus is already there. You see the way it's important for us to be able to see the way the pieces of these stories fit together. And that's where we pick things up in verse 25. So take a look in your Bibles at verse 25. Jesus says that, this is what was said. When they found him on the other side, that is Jesus, on the other side of the lake, they asked him, that is the crowd, Rabbi, when did you get here? See, like they're wondering like, okay, Jesus, we saw you on the other side of the lake and now you're here. Have no idea how you pulled that off. When did you get here? But Jesus knows the reasons why this crowd, why they're looking for him. And so he begins to call them on the carpet in this moment. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. See, Jesus calls them out in this moment. He knows what they are looking for. He knows that they're looking for another meal, another quick fix to the appetite that they have. That's what they're looking for. And so he begins to, this is so classic Jesus, to bait them into a conversation about who he is by beginning to talk about eternal food. And so this is really interesting. The crowd, they decide to ask Jesus a question, which every time I read this, it just makes me laugh. Let's keep going. So the crowd, they ask him, so they asked him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Okay. Does anyone else like think about what's taking place here? See, if we're just reading this story about Jesus when he said, I am the bread of life, we might miss this idea. When we look at the big story, we understand what's taking place. The crowd is asking Jesus for a sign to prove that, well, he is like a prophet, kind of like Moses, you know? And so they say, like, what sign can you give us? Now think about what just took place 24 hours ago. They were all on a mountainside in Tiberias where Jesus fed thousands of them with a Lunchable. And now 24 hours later, they're asking Jesus, well, yeah, I know, but what sign can you give us? I mean, that's just, let's be honest, that's kind of humorous. And so Jesus, in the midst of this moment, I picture him looking at the crowd going, are you kidding me? Do you remember what I did just a day ago? And the crowd again tries to move Jesus towards what it is that they are thinking about. You see, okay, let's pull up to 30,000 feet. This crowd, they are trying to use Jesus to get what they want, free food. But Jesus is trying to help the crowd see that what they think they want isn't what they really want. There is a deeper want for all of them, and the only person they're going to find that in is Jesus by believing in him. And so Jesus, in this masterful way, begins to move the crowd this direction. He says this. So they've already asked, what sign will you give that we may see and believe you? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. You see, now there is all kinds of imagery taking place right now as the crowd and Jesus have talked about this bread from heaven. In order to understand that, we've got to go all the way back, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before, to the Old Testament. Back to the time where Moses was leading the Israelite people out from under the tyranny and oppression of Egypt towards the promised land. And as they were headed that direction for 40 years, they wandered in the desert. And so Moses cries out to God as the people are in the desert, and God begins to feed the people with bread from heaven. This is all in Exodus chapter 16, if you want to take a look at it later. So in Exodus 16, there is this bread that falls from heaven. It like lands on the ground. It says in the morning it would look like dew, and it would dry into these like wafers that the people could take. They could take the amount that they needed for their family, and they could bake into bread that they would be able to eat. And they called it manna, which is kind of hilarious because in Hebrew, actually, manna means, what is it? Like, so creative, people. Like, I picture that conversation as it's happening. The people come out, they see the stuff on the ground, and they say, what do we call this stuff on the ground? And someone says, well, what is it? And they go, hey, perfect, let's call it that, manna. That's what they ended up calling it. And so the people every day were given manna from heaven for 40 years. As God created, you know, really took care of the needs of the people at that particular time. So, okay, now let's fast forward to this crowd with Jesus. They're still trying to figure out who Jesus is and what they really think about him. And so they're thinking maybe he is a prophet like Moses. Maybe he is here to lead the people. Look at the meal that he gave us just 24 hours ago. Maybe he's the one who is going to give us daily bread from heaven. But Jesus is saying something deeper. He's saying, no, 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 I have not just come to give you bread from heaven. I am the manna from heaven. I am sent by God to be the manna from heaven. You see, Jesus is trying to help them in this moment to see they have a deeper need, a deeper want, a deeper desire, a deeper appetite that the quick fix of one meal is not going to take care of. And so Jesus continues to move this direction. The crowd says to him, verse 34, "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." See, they're still thinking food. Jesus then declared, and this is where we hear it, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never turn away." These words, they were so powerful. And they are so powerful still for us today. Whoever comes to me never go hungry, will never go thirsty. And whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. That was true of the people then. That's still true of us today. And that's a message I think that for many of us, I think that we just need to be reminded of. Because there are people who I have conversations with who they still get this idea that, that they have to live a particular life in order to earn God's acceptance. There's a certain way they have to live, certain things that they have to do, certain things they have to step away from in order to have God truly accept them and bring them in. Well, what Jesus is saying here is actually quite different than that. You know, I talk to people who feel like, man, because of that idea, I have to live a particular life. Matt, God would not want anything ever to do with me because I am just too far gone. I've sinned too much, I've blown it too big. But that's not what this passage is saying. Like, he is saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your family of origin. It doesn't matter the amount of times that you've blown it. It doesn't matter the amount of sin that you've done. It doesn't matter what you did 10 years ago. It doesn't matter what you did like this past Friday or Saturday night. Jesus is one who says, whoever comes to me, regardless of their past, regardless of their screw-ups, regardless of their mistakes, regardless of their sins, I will never turn away. That is true for all people, and that includes you. Well, the crowd, they understood what Jesus was saying to some level. And it was not sitting well with them. They knew that as Jesus was saying, I am the bread of life, they knew that he was making claims that he was the Son of God. And as he said, whoever comes to me, they knew that he was placing himself on the same level as God. And that did not sit well. Crowd began to grumble. People were saying, wait a minute. Like, we know this guy's parents. And so Jesus continues to help them understand. Verse 47, he says this, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." See, Jesus begins to speak way more boldly about what he's saying. He's trying to help this crowd understand the eternal satisfaction that they need to find, that a temporal meal quick fix is never going to be able to fulfill. He's helping them to see that when God created us, he created mankind, he created them perfect, but then mankind, they blew it and they sinned. And that's been true of every human being as long as there have been human beings. And so because of us sinning, falling short of God's standards of perfection, it created this chasm between us and God. And so God stepped in and desired to solve that issue by sending his son Jesus as true manna from heaven to be the bread of life for you and for me, so that we can find eternal satisfaction by being in right relationship with God again, not by anything that we do. The crowd was asking, what are the works that we must do? Jesus is going, it's not about your works. So many of us ask, what are the works that we need to do in order to be accepted by God? Jesus is saying, it's not about your works. It's about believing in him. In other words, placing your faith in Jesus, his sacrifice of his life to pay the penalty for yours and my sins when he went to the cross, paying for the sin of all mankind, so that any of us who believe in him, or in other words, place our faith in him, that we can have eternal life. We can find eternal satisfaction, not by what we do, but by what he did for us. It is the greatest decision you could ever make. If you have never made that decision, I just want to encourage you today to take that step, to come to the place of accepting Jesus as your Savior, placing your faith not in you and your works, but in him and his works, by what he did for us to open the door for us to be in right relationship with God. There is no greater decision that you could ever make. Okay. What do we see taking place in this whole chapter? Like, what if we try to summarize this, what does that look like? I think that what John was trying to help people understand as he wrote this is there's a difference between temporary needs and eternal needs. The crowd was focused on this short-term, quick fix, temporary satisfaction. Jesus was helping them to see that they had a hunger inside of them that was eternal, that could only be satisfied by him. The crowd was focused on this idea of a meal, of food that Jesus could give them. He's the free food guy. Let's make him king. Because then, just like Moses fed the people, even though it was God who fed the people, Jesus can meet our needs in the same way by giving us free food. And Jesus is saying, no, it's so much better than that. The Israelites were focused on their own appetite, free food. And here's the thing. I think that for many of us in today's day and age, and we focus on the same thing. We focus on our temporary appetites. And let's be honest, we focus on the quick fix. And we do that because we live in a world where that's the best that the world has to offer us. You know, we are inundated. Look, we are inundated every day by the messages that the here and now is the most important thing and the best thing that we can grab onto to satisfy this appetite inside of us. So we move towards the quick fix. And we are told all the time that the things that we have right now are the most important things. And the things that we have from the past, they don't do it the way they used to. And so we're sold by this world, like all the things that come out that are here and now, that are newer, that are better, that are faster, that are sleeker, because they're better than what we used to have. Look, we all buy into it. I get nailed by it all the time. You know, like for instance, like my Apple Watch that I have, I got it 2 years ago. And when I got it, it was like the best on the market. It satisfied me. But now it's been 2 years. There have been like two or three generations of new Apple Watches that have come out that are newer and sleeker and faster and have cooler things that they do. And so all of a sudden, this one that I have, like I still like it, but it doesn't satisfy me the way that it used to. You know, like think about it. The things that you have bought new in 2020, there will be new models that come out in 2021, 2022, 2023, to when that time is the here and now, those things that you think satisfy you so well, they won't satisfy you quite as well any longer. I mean, let's be honest, like our basement's full of that stuff. It's full of all kinds of things that we thought would satisfy us that now we don't even think about and they're collecting dust. You know, I mean, even like, okay, even Stella's spicy cheese bread. You know, like when I eat this stuff, man, I love it so much, but I know that after I eat it, like I'm gonna have an appetite for it again. It's not gonna be long before I'm hungry. There has never been a time where I've eaten Stella's spicy cheese bread, eaten enough of it to where I go, you know what? I don't ever have to eat that again. Like, I am fully satisfied. I don't think I ever have to have another piece. No, I know that my appetite will come back. We all know this, that this is true of this world. And this is true of, like, everything it is that we ever step into. Like, there is never a meal that we eat, a purchase that we make, an amount of money that we earn, a sexual encounter that we participate in, an amount of notoriety that we gain, an award that we win, a number of TikTok views that we reach, an amount of influence over power that we hold over people, a number of Netflix shows that we watch where we aren't eventually left wanting more. That's the world that we live in. We have a deep hunger that can only be satisfied temporarily by this world. That's the best the world can do. And the thing is, we all know this. But see, for those of us who are Christians, we buy into the idea that Jesus is more. That he offers more than this world can. You know, he offers more than this quick fix that we focus on so often to satisfy a temporary need that, like, if we're all honest, we know is going to come back. It's kind of like this. In a world searching for a quick fix, Jesus offers a satisfaction that sticks. Come on. In a world searching for a quick fix, Jesus offers a satisfaction that sticks. He is the only one who can satisfy this deep need inside of us. He is the only one who can give us an eternal satisfaction that goes beyond the temporary needs of this world. Okay, but can I be just honest for a minute? Do you ever, if you're honest, feel like, well, Jesus, oh, he isn't always that satisfying? Can I say that out loud? I'm a pastor. You know, like there are times after like a stressful day or whatever. Yeah, I'm sure you feel the same way where like you get done with a stressful day, you get to the end of the day and you think like, it's not that you want Jesus. I just want like Netflix to embrace me for a couple hours. And so what do we do in our lives to be able to develop more of this appetite for Jesus? Well, it really comes back to what are the appetites that we are fostering in our lives. And those appetites are fostered by what we focus on. So my question is, like, when it comes to life, like, what are the things that what are you focusing on? Like, are you a political junkie right now? You're just constantly looking at websites and articles and news, all that has to do with the particular party that you land with, and you just love reading that stuff. If you are focusing on that, then you are fostering an appetite for politics. Or maybe you are a person, you love like home remodeling. That is your thing. You're on Pinterest all the time. You're constantly looking at websites. You have ideas of the things that you want to do to your house. If you are focusing on that, then you are fostering an appetite for home decor. Or maybe for you, it's clothes. You're constantly on different sites looking to see the different fashion that's coming out and all the different stuff and what's newest and what do you need to get rid of from your closet. You focus on that, you're fostering an appetite for fashion. We do this all over the map. It could be sports or entertainment or music or money management. Whatever we focus upon, we foster an appetite for. It's the same with Jesus. So let me just say, if right now in this COVID season, I know it's difficult. But if the only time that you are ever spending with Jesus is like an hour or so from the time that we spend time together here during a service, your appetite's probably not gonna be very deep. You know, and so what are the things that you can do to foster that appetite more. Well, there has never been an easier time to actually be able to find more stuff about how to grow in your relationship with Jesus. I mean, there are incredible books that are out there. There are podcasts you can listen to. There are devotional websites that are set up. You can watch any church right now that you want to on the planet and take everything in it is that they do. There are so many opportunities. But on top of that, here at Blackhawk, we've wanted to try to help you in this process. And so, like, we have created, our team has created a reading plan that people from our church are going through, like, where we're going through the Gospels together. You can do it in 30 days or 90 days by reading 3 chapters or 1 chapter. It's an opportunity to just dive deeper into the Word of God and understand the life of Jesus. There's our resources page that has all sorts of, there are different videos up there that help you to see how do we grow in our relationship with Jesus? What does it look like to read the Bible? How do we do that well? There are all sorts of stuff. We have a podcast that we just started that goes deeper into the sermon every week and also goes into different spiritual practices that you can begin to try and see how they work for you as you spend more time with God. But we know that, like, spending time with God just by yourself, like, do you ever find that difficult? Well, join the club. And that's why we've created groups upon groups upon groups. We believe in the idea of how important it is for you to connect with other people. And so, we still have, right now, life groups for you pretty much every day of the week that you could get into. We have Encounter Women's Bible Study and Men's Ministry that you can dive into with larger groups of people. We even have groups that are available if you're in a place where you're like, I'm just checking this out. I'm not sure what I believe. No problem. We have a group set aside for you where you can get together with other people who are questioning the reality of Jesus. You know, a place where you can safely ask your questions and dive into it with them. But the whole idea is that we foster an appetite on the things that we focus upon. It's important for us to focus on Jesus. But I want to talk to a particular crowd for just a minute, because I know for some of you right now, you're going, listen, Metzger, like, right now, my focus is just trying to keep my head above water in this season because I am dying on a vine. Like, right now, not only am I working full-time from home and trying to make that work, but on top of that, I am a teacher's aide for my kids. I am a chef making 3 meals a day for everyone who is always hungry. I am a maid cleaning up after everyone because everyone is always home. I'm tech support for my entire family who's trying to figure out how to do this life online, all on their different schedules. And I am just trying to, like, hold it together before I fall into bed exhausted every night. Oh, and by the way, yeah, it's Groundhog Day. Every day looks exactly the same as the other. So forgive me, Metzger, if I don't have time to get into a group right now, but my focus is just on trying to hold it together. And if I'm honest, I am empty. If you find yourself in that place right now, and we're hearing that story from all kinds of people. And the thing that I want you just to hear in this moment is that, and you're loved by God. He is with you in this time, and that he sees your emptiness, and he's the bread of life. He's the one who desires to fill you right now. And maybe for you in this moment, it's just being able to find the moments. Like, maybe for you right now, Psalm 34:8 says, just taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who find refuge in him. Maybe for you, it's just simply finding those places just to take a taste. Maybe for you, it's going into your bathroom for 4 minutes and locking the door to just be away from the family and just say, God, I need you to feed me right now because I'm on empty. Because here's the thing, we have a God who longs to feed us. And that's possible because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, of him sacrificing himself so that we could be in right relationship with God. You know what's interesting about the end of John 6? People who had been following Jesus started to walk away from him because he talked about his body being real food and his flesh being real food, his blood being real drink. Just think, 24 hours before, they were ready to make him king. And now they're ready to walk away from him because they didn't understand what he was saying. But see, for us, we get the opportunity to see the whole story in the Gospels. We understand what Jesus was saying about sacrificing himself to pay a penalty that you and I could never pay by his body being broken and his blood being shed to pay for your sins and for my sins so that we could be in right relationship with God and be satisfied for all eternity. That's why I love the fact that today we have the chance to take communion together. I'm going to hand off to Lynn in just a second as she leads us in communion. But before we go there, let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for your son, Jesus, who came into this world to be true manna from heaven, to be the bread of life for us so that we could spend eternity with you, so that you can be the one who satisfies our needs, not just temporally, but eternally. And so God, I ask this week, I ask today, you would help us to lean into that, that we would understand to a greater level how great you are as God. God, help us to spend more time with you, that through that focus, that we might foster more of an appetite, that we might give you more of ourselves and experience more of your goodness that will last on forever and ever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people, wherever you are, said, amen.
Amen. Today, Matt shared with us about the fact that nothing can compare with what Jesus offers us. He shared about the fact that nothing on this earth can satisfy us the way Jesus can satisfy us. Life is in Jesus. He's not a quick fix. He's got the eternal answer, that thing, that feeling that we all have inside of us of, is there more? Man, some of us go in these cycles. We all do it. We turn to things that ultimately disappoint us. But as we turn to Jesus, as we see that he is the bread, he is the one who satisfies our souls, we can find rest in him. The search can be called over. Our hope can be in Jesus. And so today we have an opportunity to take communion together to celebrate. Now, communion, it doesn't make us holy. It doesn't make us better. It doesn't solve our problems. But when we come together and take communion, it's a way of remembering who Jesus is, remembering what he did, that he made a way where there was no way, that our sin was in the way, but he came and made a way for us to enter relationship with the living God. And so if you don't already have your bread and your juice, go ahead and get that right now. And for anyone watching who's thinking, you know, I'm not there yet. I'm interested. I want to learn more. Maybe a group sounds good, but I'm just not there to believe in Jesus. I am so glad that you're here, and I hope you feel no pressure to participate in what we're going to do here. But for those who do believe in Jesus, if you do believe he is the bread that satisfies our souls, would you join me in communion? Here's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take and eat together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take and drink together. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for this message today, Lord, that we can find eternal, lasting, forever satisfaction in you, the bread of life. God, I thank you that even though we stumble and even though we turn all the time to other things, God, I thank you that your grace is so sufficient that we can come back, that we can remember who you are and what you've done. God, I pray for all of us right now, Lord, that we would believe that you are the bread of life. We thank you so much, and we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I've searched the world, he couldn't feel me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Ooh.
There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better.
Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me free.
You're the only one who cares. You're the only one.
before we go, I want to remind you of some of the resources that Matt shared about today. We have incredible resources available on our website. You can check out daily reading plans, you can check out videos, and we also have a great podcast. Every Wednesday, another episode will come out in our podcast, and this week, I'm excited to hear it, as I heard we're learning about spiritual practices. So I hope that you'll engage with that and check out the resources that we have for you. Now, in a moment, I have a benediction for today, but before that, I want to let you know that right after the benediction, we have a couple of questions that will come up on your screen. It's a way to further reflect on the message that we heard today. So whether you're on your own or with others, I encourage you to reflect with the questions. Each question will be up for about a minute, so if you want more time to discuss, be sure to hit pause so that you can have that conversation. Now, for our benediction today, it just seems so fitting that we would look to the I am statement that we learned about today in John chapter 6. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Let's focus this week on the one who ultimately satisfies. Thanks so much for being with us, and we can't wait to see you next week.